Doctor Who podcast by a fan and her dad.
No, it's a fan and his daughter.
Season 1, Episode 3, The Unquiet Dead by Mark Gatiss. What did you think?
I thought it was very good beginning in terms of tension. At the start, I was sitting there thinking, like, it's like watching a movie. I'm like eating pizza like popcorn and wanting to know what happens next. And sometimes there's a clear difference between, like, you know, you go to a movie and it's on new, and TV shows can be more slow to start because they can go for like multiple episodes.
So you thought it was quite cinematic?
Yeah, I don't know why I was thinking that really. But then the bit at the very end, like the conclusion with the matches and the gas, that was very good because they like planted that early on. And I did like the thing where he just put his hand on her neck to check her pulse and then left. And was sort of like, is she dead? But she's not one of them, but... That was quite nice. It's always nice when the characters know more than you do. And show like this, especially because I'm watching it out of order, so I have all of this knowledge about stuff that happens later in the show, as well as stuff that's happened before. And sometimes in episodes you're like, because you see a couple of things happening at the same time, in different places, it can be, oh, there's no real surprises.
So you enjoyed the fact that you were left guessing.
Yeah.
At the very end, what was actually going on. Out of order, watching is getting out of order, because tomorrow we're going to watch Father's Day, which is all about Rose's father. And she mentioned the father in this one because Gwyneth, with her special sight, was able to tell that her father was dead.
And that's going to be even more out of order when we release this, because it's going to be a long time after we've released Father's Day.
That's right. I'm also thinking, because this is by Mark Gatiss and you've seen, written by, and you've seen a few of his other ones. He did Robots of Sherwood.
Which oh, yeah. Seen,
and Sleep No More, which also had the zombie sort of, there was, I think, some links you could make between that one and this one.
Yes.
I'm skeptical.
I guess my main reason for looking skeptical is they're just such different styles.
They were very, that was shot like it was found footage, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas this one was very deliberately an historical. And I believe that this one, the showrunner of the time, RTD, he came up with the idea for it and he wanted it to be set in the past, because at this point we'd had Rose and then we went to the end of Earth. So he wanted to kind of stake out the ground for new people who were joining the show who hadn't watched the classic series, to make them realise that any week anything could happen.
Yeah.
You could go anywhere.
And it's pretty comprehensive covering of it from what was then modern day to... The Earth being destroyed to... I'm
not going quite as far in the past, but it's a fair way in the past, isn't it?
Charles Dickens. We haven't gone to dinosaurs or anything.
They come up in the spaceships later on. There's a, you've got a personal connection to this story, did you know that? Because you had a Welsh great-grandmother and she actually lived in Swansea for a number of years, which is where a lot of that episode was shot, even though it was supposed to be in Cardiff, where they make the TV program. Apparently, there weren't enough old houses in Cardiff, so the outside scenes were actually shot in Swansea, where your grandmother lived, your great grandmother lived for a number of years. Obscure and somewhat semi-interesting fact.
I have a vague feeling they've shot other things in Cardiff when they were meant to be set places like not even in Wales.
I think that's, yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah.
Boomtown, there were bits of that that were definitely outside in real Cardiff. And they came back to the Rift. That's one of the things I really noticed watching this series back when it started, was the way in which they were tying things together, which was kind of rare, I think, in the classic series. And also, did you pick up on Gwyneth saying, when she started seeing all of the things about
yes.
the Rift, what was the last thing she said?
The bad wolf.
The big bad wolf.
There are a couple of things like that in this one, though, which I find sort of like, yeah, because... I've seen Bad Wolf, the episode, and then I watched this afterwards.
Mm.
So there's not any tension around that
or
for
mystery.
Me. Yeah.
I thought it was playing interestingly too on the fact that Time War had just happened and we're supposed to think at this point, actually, I don't know if we know at this point that the Doctor thought he killed all of the Time Lords and the Daleks. I can't remember when that actually revealed, but looking back now, we think the Doctor thought. So they were sort of playing on his sympathy. It's obviously really preying on his mind, as it would if you thought you'd committed multiple genocides. And we saw that again in The Doctor Dances and what was the first part of that one? The Doctor Dances and...
The Empty Child.
Empty Child, thank you. Where he was saying, just this once, everyone lives.
It was the people writing the show were drawing on that, and so were the Gelf were completely preying on that.
Do you think they knew who he was? Like there was something they were talking to him, there was some sort of awareness.
Well, I think part of the thing there is anyone who opens the or gets the girl to open the rift is going to have some knowledge of space things.
Mm. It's interesting character development for the Doctor and looking back on it now knowing that after the day of the Doctor, well, he didn't actually do that, but he thought he did that. And it's still relatively recently. It's a bit unclear how far is there between the War Doctor regenerating and Rose, but there doesn't seem to be very much time at all between the start of Rose and this episode.
Well, in Rose, his body's still new.
That was my feeling. Yeah, my feeling was that he was very fresh, but you don't know for sure. You know, maybe he'd just been hanging out somewhere where there weren't mirrors.
Are there mirrors in the TARDIS? There must be somewhere, but...
Well, yeah, if you just go down the corridor and to the left and three rights, you'll find the room.
That was very good. Especially, like, after that, he just sort of smiles and goes that, and I'm feeling like she's going to be lost in there for days.
Yeah, but you
and then she comes back out really soon. It's like, oh, okay.
Any other thoughts?
Surely you've got something else on that long note list.
I noticed some things. It was some interesting sort of allusions to class and class issues. And at the end, she was just a servant girl and Gwyneth saying, you think I'm stupid.
Yeah.
And the way she was speaking to her when that was the two of them talking together and suggesting that Gwyneth didn't really have much of a life. And I've heard a discussion about this. I think it was probably on the Verity podcast. They were pointing out the way she was belittling and saying that Gwyneth should have more in life might be true in some utopian universal sense, but actually for her time and place, she probably did actually have a fairly decent position, which is not to say that the class system is right, but maybe she was being a bit patronising.
Yeah.
And that I think you actually got almost some nod to that when Gwyneth said, don't I get a say in this? Like Rose was speaking for her. And just assuming that she understood the situation, even though she'd just arrived in this time and place and really knew almost nothing about it.
I guess coming from the future would sort of automatically make you feel a bit superior because it's like how you people haven't even discovered this invention which we all use, even though like we as people had nothing to do with those inventions.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point.
We think that they're just so basic and same with ideas about the class.
So we're really hostage to our assumptions and our upbringing. And that's, the Doctor's also, Rose is putting forward her point of view and saying, you can't do that. And the Doctor's saying, yes, I can and get used to it. But I like that speech too because he's sort of pushing back against her view of the world, but then also he's doing it in the context of a decision he's making, which is completely wrong. He is completely doing the wrong thing, whether it's, good intentions or not. But he doesn't always know as much as he thinks he might.
That line at the end where Charles Dickens says the quote about more things in heaven than earth and then says, even for you, Doctor, which I think is a nice one to say. The Doctor always thinks he knows best.
Yeah.
Which I guess would be even more of that. We have better inventions than you, so we're better.
Oh, yeah, good point.
He's a Time Lord.
That's right.
At one point, I think it's David Tennant, I remember saying, any Time Lord child could build one of these out of nursery blocks when he's made something or other.
Mm.
It's sort of like that. It's like I can do all of these things that I've been able to do since I was whatever the Time Lord equivalent of two is.
Mm.
And you can't even understand them as an adult.
Which is maybe one of the reasons he needs a companion. But how would you rate this episode?
Well, I don't like it as much as the Power of Three. Although I mention stuff like this, but the Power of Three gets an unfair advantage over this one in that it's got like one of my favourite doctors and one of my favourite companions. Mm. Whereas I like Rose, but not that much. And,
so, and what about Christopher Eccleston? What do you think about him as a doctor?
Sort of the same. Like, I like him, but he's not one of my favourites.
He really warmed on me in this season, but unfortunately by the time I was warming up to him, we knew he was coming. So my feeling was that you liked it more at the start.
Yeah.
But you didn't really live up to the promise that you thought it was showing early on.
I think that the reason I liked the start was the really high tension. But afterwards it was so, like, sort of impressive build-ups, and then tension would actually happen and be over really quickly. Like at the end when they had that whole seance thing, and then it was sort of building up, but at the same time it was a bit sort of, I was being a bit distracted by just thinking, really? You're having a seance? Really? And then they actually got through and there were the corpses. And very quickly the old man dies.
Mm.
And very quickly Rose and the doctor escape. And everything happens quite fast, but there's such a long, fancy build-up. It's a bit odd.
Nonetheless, with regard to sleeping soundly tonight, you're probably glad that we don't have lights which are powered by gas jets on the wall.
Yes, but you see, this one has a solution which doesn't rely on you either being a Time Lord or having a TARDIS, so it's okay.
Blowing up the house.
Well, yes.